In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A friend of mine, the Reverend Canon Andrea McMillan, once told me about an encounter she had had with her daughters. Sophia and Clara were riding in the back seat while Andrea drove. And Sophia was just at that age where she was tiptoeing into her teenage years, and she was trying to figure out what that was all about. This particular week was a big one for her, and so as they drove along, Andrea heard a tentative, "Mom?" Andrea answered, "Yes, Sophia?" "I don't believe in God anymore." At this point, Andrea started thinking hard. What was the right response? Andrea was an Episcopal priest, and her oldest child was denying faith altogether. Her youngest child was there too, and she was all ears to hear how this was going to play out. A life without Jesus Christ was not the life that Andrea wanted for her daughter. But arguing didn't seem like the right answer. Andrea wanted to respect the integrity of her daughter's questioning, so how should she respond? How would you respond? Well, after a moment, Andrea replied, "Sophia, I'm proud of you. Questioning your faith is an important stage in every Christian's journey. To believe is to make your faith your own, and that might mean setting aside some of the things that have been handed to you and figuring out for yourself what makes sense." Andrea said, "I'm proud that you have come to this place, and I hope you will keep working on it." Now, I was impressed by Andrea's wisdom and her capacity to step out of her anxiety in order to care for the growing soul of her daughter. So our theme this Eastertide is, "Do not be afraid." That was the encouragement offered by the angel to Mary, and Salome at the tomb last week. That is the encouragement offered three times this week by Jesus to his disciples. "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid." Of the many things that Christians might be tempted to be afraid of, one that has a fraught history is a fear of questions and intellectual vigor. Christians are often deathly afraid of being wrong. And so when Christians, especially Christians with power in a hierarchical system like the Western Church, are unsure of their own faith, these Christians often have difficulty countenancing the questions of others. And so what you'll find is a world full of would-be believers overcompensating for their own lack of faith by masking it with snappy platitudes or simplistic answers that don't stand up to reality or a shrill insistence that others see things their way. It's like the old joke about the acronym that can be found on the margins of preachers' sermon notes. PWSL, point weak, shout louder. That's why I'm glad that Thomas's story was included in the Bible, and why I'm proud to be a part of a parish that was named after him. Every year after Easter, this is the story we read. It's an important one. The Christian faith has nothing to fear from intellectual struggle. The Christian faith is not an easy thing to understand or to believe. And there is nothing odd or unusual or deficient about anyone who struggles with it. In fact, I would argue there is no Christian belief without struggle. As Andrea explained to her daughter, it's part of the journey. So imagine what Thomas was dealing with. It was the same thing we talked about with Mary and Mary and Salome last week as they struggled. Resurrection is not an easy idea. Dead people don't just show up here in church smiling and taking part and sitting in their old pew. And yet, Jesus appeared to the whole band of his disciples, except Thomas. Thomas wasn't there that Sunday. This is why you should never skip church. You never know what's going to happen. Thomas refused to believe because faith is too important to do simply because it's what you're supposed to do. Thomas wasn't just going to go along with his friend's apparent insanity. Thomas knew that life is too hard, too brutal, to risk a lightweight ascent to the impossible. Thomas was looking for something that would stand up to harsh reality, something he could cling to. Faith is not an easy thing to come by. Faith is not something to be taken up lightly, because faith promises to reorient your life from top to bottom. But do not be afraid. Faith does not ask you to believe untrue things. Instead, it invites you to take your time to discover what is most true. Faith is not a decoration or a prop, like a necklace or a Bible or a stole. Faith is not a manner of speech or a set of ideas or a code of conduct. Faith is not a mind game or a set of propositions to memorize or a competition. There is no exam at the end. Instead, faith is a process. It is a relationship. Faith is like the relationship that you have with your best friend, or ideally with your spouse. And that is a relationship that is based not on promises, not on hopes, but on hard-won experience and the testing of life through time. It is a relationship that is solid, something that you can count on when everything else in your world goes sideways. Faith is a journey in relationship with the living God who created the world, who lived as the person named Jesus of Nazareth, and who continues to live in us as the holy breath of God. So, you might wonder, if faith is not found primarily in rules or codes or propositions or artifacts, where can faith be found? I'm glad you asked. Faith is found in community. It is when the disciples gathered on a Sunday that Jesus appeared in their midst and hushed their fears. To this day, the disciples of Jesus still like to gather on Sundays. Here at church, we meet God in Scripture as we hear it read aloud, and we listen together. We meet God in the Eucharist, which begins with our passing of the peace, a symbol and sign of our unity and forgiveness. We meet God in community because God's nature is community. That is the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Now, some of us show up and work at church, some weeks, not really sure what we believe. Several people in multiple congregations have come to me and told me that they are atheists. They still like to come to church because it feeds them in one way or another, but they don't know about this God stuff. I always tell them, you are welcome here. We are Anglicans. As Anglicans, we agree not that we're going to believe all the same things, but we agree to worship together. Because it is as we worship together, as we struggle together with this thing called faith, that is where we encounter God and where we come to know God in relationship. It is in church that we learn the tools and the disciplines of faith. It is here that we find encouragement in the examples of those who have gone before us, who have persevered in the struggle and found it to be worthwhile. In church, we find companions for our journey of faith among both the living and the dead. And in church, we learn how to invest the time and the effort it takes to develop genuine faith. So do not be afraid. Believing in God does not require you to check your brain at the door. Believing in God isn't even a requirement to come to church. Faith isn't something that you do or accomplish. Faith is something that happens to you as you make space for it and learn to entrust yourself to the community that bears the name of Christ. Faith is not something that you can get wrong. It is simply something that you grow into at your own pace. This week, many of us observed the 50th anniversary of the death of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Here at St. Thomas on Wednesday evening, just after 7 p.m., our bell tolled 39 times, remembering the number of years that Dr. King lived before he was murdered. Now, Dr. King was under intense pressure for much of his adult life. Being at the forefront of the civil rights movement meant he was under intense scrutiny and in conflict with the government and with many individuals. Dr. King would not have survived the work that he was doing on a little halfway faith, a verbal assent, or mere symbols. Dr. King's faith was deep and abiding, and it carried him through the work that was set before him, so that even death did not stop his impact on our country and our world. So do not be afraid. Like Andrea's daughter Sophia, you may have to strip away some of the cultural beliefs before you can sort out what is genuinely helpful and authentic in your life. And that can be a scary process. But the church is here to support you in that work. That is what we do. Do not be afraid. There is no gain without risk. You have come to the right place to continue your own spiritual journey, to be called upward and inward. According to the biblical witness, church is where Jesus seems to like to show up. So keep looking, and you will develop the eyes of faith that enable you to find Jesus here, in this place, and in this community. Do not be afraid.